Thank you, Tom. Thank you, thank you. Morning, everyone. Afternoon, even. Just encourage you there, Tom. As you were praying, I noticed that whenever you pray, there's a kind of rhythm always going on with you. You're always moving, but it's moving with God. And I just encourage you to continue on that. You've got a rhythm there that really involves God in you, in your movement. And I couldn't help just be touched a little bit by that movement. I almost felt like going with the, you know. And then if we all join in together, there'd just be a sea of people moving and grooving with God, wouldn't we? Come on. Sounds like a plan, doesn't it? And you too, Danielle, yes. So I'm going to caveat this in a way that I normally do, for no other reason than the fact is that often when I preach, it's the way that the Lord has been speaking to me personally, and I trust that you'll get the overflow. But also trust that you know enough and that you're in tune enough, as Tom said, that it's not just about what I say, but let the words of the Holy Spirit and God's words seek you out to touch your heart, yeah? So even if you don't necessarily get what I'm saying and you're not in the right place to receive from me, forget me, receive from God. Come on. It's not about me, it's about receiving from God. So even if you're looking at me and think, I'm just not in the mood to hear from John Brannan today, forget me. How dare you? How dare you laugh at that? Far too much feeling. Anyway, but I'm going to read from Ephesians 3, if you'd like to read along, verses 17 to 21. I know that Vicky has read this many times over the last couple of years, and it's kind of really got into my heart and into my spirit so much to the extent now that when I read it, I can hear Vicky's voice in my head reading it along. So that's a bit weird. So Ephesians 3:17-21. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of the riches of his glory, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all of the fullness of God. I'll finish there. Not the talk, just the scripture. Yeah. All you. We see the weather out. So there's nothing quite like bad weather to unite us, is there? Well, at least in conversation anyway. The Brits do like to talk about the weather. In my old church, the church I was at previously, I don't mean that the people were old, although they're older than a lot of people in here. I used to say things like, remember back in 1987? I can't say that here. You know? And everybody would used to nod, well, yes, I remember 1987. And I could even go back to the Second World War with some people. Hear you saying, oh, do you remember 1975? And no. Who actually wasn't even born in 1987 here? Woo! Oh, my life. So it's a good half of the congregation, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Burn. Well, for those of you that weren't around then, there was a great storm. The great storm of 87 in October. And the storm caused so much damage over England that over 15 million trees were uprooted and felled. And a lot of the things that people noticed about these trees that were blown over was that although they were huge and tall and they looked superficially well established, you know, giant oaks, when they had toppled over, you could see that their roots were really unbelievably shallow. And looking at Richard and Linda and other really good people who know their gardening, the reason was that the water level below the soil in some places is so close to the surface that the roots can't really get that deep. So they can't really draw nourishment in a way that they should, going really, really deep. So the roots were shallow. And even though the trees were massive and sturdy and had the appearance of being strong and resistant and overcoming, the first major storm blows them over, uproots them, takes them away. Yeah. You ever felt like that? You know yourself that, and I'm speaking to myself here, that's what my caveat was, that when those storms come, unless we're rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, then those storms, and sometimes they don't have to be big storms, they can just blow us over. They don't have to be big, do they? They don't have to be that big thing about learning that you have to go to the doctor and have loads of tests. They don't have to be this situation where you might be losing your job or your financial situation is shot to pieces. It might just be that somebody looked at you the wrong way or didn't say good morning. Am I being real? We can get blown over in so many different ways. And that's not a judgment or a criticism. It's just who we are. And that's why we need to be rooted and grounded in love. So I was thinking about this. So to be rooted and grounded, what does that mean to you this morning? Just let that thought or thoughts run around in your head a little while as I continue to speak. So to be rooted in something means that you're getting absolutely every ounce of nourishment out of it. Yeah. Your life is being nourished to the maximum. I love the gardening day yesterday. We had a fantastic time. And just be involved in that process of planting and fertilizing and watering and hoping and believing that that will establish something in the future. Yeah, that rooting, getting involved in that, getting your hands dirty. Something about that is really quite excited. And when Jesus Christ said, I have come that you might have life, life and abundant, he promises that our lives would be fully nourished in that truth that we live and have the promise of abundant life. So being rooted and grounded for me is a picture of God's love for us. It's not based on fluctuating feelings or circumstances. It doesn't change. There's no shadow of turning with God. It's solid. It's constant. It's unchanging. It undergirds and underpins and supports and brings context and hope and life to every area of our being. You know, even before I got up to speak this morning, I was so encouraged by what Richard was sharing, what Tom was saying, what Sarah had chosen. You know, Reckless Love and that Elevation Worship, Do It Again and Reckless Love, they've not been off my iPod for a long time recently because they really speak to me about the love of God. You know, they really wreck me with God's love all over again. So I read again just so that you can get this in your hearts and your minds and your spirits. And I'll possibly throw in one or two words with emphasis so you can understand what the Word of God is saying. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And what we need to understand about what Paul was writing there, he was writing to the group, not the individual. And although I might be speaking in some level to each one of us individually, we're reminded that these words were spoken to a church in Ephesus to encourage them, to bring them together, to cause them to stand together even more than they were currently doing in love and rootedness and groundedness in that love for Christ Jesus. So the real sense that if we don't go deep, we can't go high. That sense of being rooted, there's two thoughts around that. The first one, rooted, is that we become well established. We become well established in the Lord. And then what that creates then is that perfect foundation which he can build on in our lives. He causes us to go deep so that we can go high. He causes us to go deep that we can go high. It's powerful, isn't it? So that's a profound responsibility. It is, it always will be, and it always has been about love. Love for one another. Yeah. That's what they're being asked to be established in. The love of Christ. To grasp it, how wide and long and high and deep. Who's been to California and seen the redwood trees? Anybody here? Yeah, a few. I've never been to see them. These miracles of nature, these incredible giants. Some of the biggest trees in the world growing as high as 275 foot high and at least 25 foot in diameter and roughly over 2,500 years old. And I'm going to concentrate for the last few minutes with the tale of two trees. Yeah. So something that huge, you must determine that it has an incredibly complex and deep root system. Those of you already know the answer to that. The answer is that they don't. Their roots only go down about 6 to 12 feet. Think back to the story of the great storm of these singular trees that only had this small amount of water to live on, which meant that their roots couldn't really go very deep and they were easily toppled over. Well, these trees, the redwoods, they withstand earthquakes, fires, storms, strong winds, and prolonged flooding, and yet they stand with no tangible root beneath them. And the answer to that is what they do is whatever roots they have below the surface, they intertwine with the other redwood trees. Powerful image, isn't it? They come together and they grow so close and become so dependent that these humongous trees, these incredibly tall trees, stand and support one another like an army, locking on to one another. They prevent the adversaries of life from knocking one another over. Great picture of how church should be. It's a great picture of how the journey is for me. I've said this here and before in other places. I love being a part of the Journey family. We're not perfect, are we? We're a bit weird at times. Speaking for myself now. Making sure I don't catch anybody's eye. But we're unique then. Probably that's a better word, isn't it? We're special. But there is something in that you know, that we might not feel like it, but in times, and I'm sure you can look around, and I see groups and clusters of people who have become like the redwood. You've locked roots. You've helped each other, haven't you? Yeah. And I want to see that become even more and more as we go forward. So just how rooted and grounded are we? So the next example is the Chinese bamboo tree. This is remarkable. If anybody knows anything about it, I only knew a little bit about it till a couple of days ago. But to grow this particular tree, if you're a specialist, it could also be a grass, but let's just call it a tree for now. I know what the journey's like. Oh, what's up? John Brennan called it a tree. It's actually a grass. So, you know, just to avoid the big grass here. Yeah. So it requires a lot of nurturing through constant water and fertilizer. So if you plant the seed and you water it and add fertilizer for a whole year, incredibly, nothing happens. Nothing whatsoever. No visible signs of growth, not even a tiny little green shoot to give you some reassurance that something's going on deep under the surface. But after the second year of constant water, nurture and fertilizer, nothing. Then, of course, after the third year, keep at it, keep going for it, nothing. Obviously, you get to the fourth year and still nothing. So 4 years, and you have to keep at it, constantly nurturing and watering and fertilizing and believing and hoping, having been told that something amazing is going to happen on the fifth year, then something amazing does happen. Let's watch what happens. I mean, I was impressed after the first minute, then the second minute, and then that's only 3 weeks of growth altogether there. But after 5 weeks, having had 4 years of apparent nothing, it grows up to 90 feet in 5 weeks. That's remarkable, isn't it? That is just crazy. Yeah. Just going back to what Tom was sharing at the start and what Richard was saying. Don't give up. 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 4 year. I wasn't even going to talk about that this morning, but just the way it all went was perfect. Don't give up. It's coming. Go on, who needs to believe that it's coming this morning? You know, 1 year. Emily, the dreams, teaching, the way it's all come together. Hoping, believing, trusting. Perhaps not seeing much. Anybody else here is not seeing much at the moment. It is coming. Come on. God is faithful to all his promises. Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Yeah. So as we go forward together in this new season, and it's not just about transition of leadership. We are in a new season in the journey. It's a different season. And it's got something of the old season, but it is a new season. And I want us to continue to pray for Pete and Vicky. But remember, this is also a new season for all of us in different ways. And that is, if you like, the headline for some of us. But there's so much more going on that we shouldn't take our eye off. This is all about the journey moving into a new season of kingdom destiny. It's exciting, isn't it? Yeah. Not a better one. Or it could be, but it's about a new season of kingdom destiny. And we thank God for all of those years of sowing and watering. Who's ready for a bit of reaping? We ready? Yeah, come on. Yeah, for such a time as this, we go together. And this is what we aim for. Paul, the apostle, had a lot to say. And I've just aggregated some of his thoughts around what we aim for, what we come together for. We have unity of mind, we have sympathy, brotherly love, tender hearts, humble minds, being of the same mind, having the same mind, being in full accord and one mind. Put on love, which binds everything together in perfect unity. Those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. Rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Pete's going to share something in a moment which will lead us to a time of prayer. And all I wanted to close with my own thoughts and my own experience of being part of this amazing family of the journey is that as we move forward, I want you to know that if you belong to this family, he's got you. But I also want you to know that if he's got you, we've got you also. So we've got to put aside, to the best of our ability, any sense of living individually to the extent of separating ourselves and allowing ourselves to become separated from this incredible rootedness and groundedness that God has given us. Let's bind together in the days and the weeks and the months ahead. Let's grow strong. Let's rejoice when we see these people who've been sitting on their promises, like we've already had with Emily. We've seen Richard's promises over decades. How faithful are you, man? All those years of waiting. Come on, and other people here that are sitting on the same kind of stuff. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good. He's going to do it. If he said he's going to do it, he's going to do it. Pete, would you share before we pray? Thank you.
Yeah, this is something I wrote a week ago. When I just woke up one morning and wrote it when I couldn't sleep. So I'm just going to read it as I wrote it. If you've caught hold of something this morning, caught a glimpse of the big story, if something clicked for you today about what God is enacting, how God, the divine, has been working, cajoling, loving, collaborating through the history of creation and humanity on earth, if you caught a glimpse of the glory of the risen King, of the Heavenly Father this morning, and it burned, if it ignited something deep in your heart, sparked something in your mind, if you glimpsed the glory of the hope being released among us, and the intent of our Creator for the whole of humanity and creation, and the goodness and power of Christ for transformation, if you caught a vision for what this little church family could be, if you've witnessed the favour on this community and the village of Englefield Green, if you've recognised the blessing and the richness available, even right here in this building, as we gather on a Sunday, as kids and folk meet here to dance, to cook, to share stories, if you've recognised the depth of love and the profoundness of the simple or the excitement of the extraordinary, then today I call that out of you. I call out the dream, I call out the tug towards a truly missional, Christ-centred life. I call out the strategy of your mind for practical, profound solutions to challenges, and the tug towards understanding the depths of the mystery of our God and the compassion of your heart for the least, the last, the lost, for the call towards prayer, towards worship. If that's you, if you know that was happening for you this morning, I want to pray with you.